This is CliffCentral.com.
Yeah, good morning, everybody. It's Friday. Yes, we're here, we're live. It's all happening. What are you going to do this weekend? What are your plans? Do you want to do a lot or do you want to do nothing?
I want to do a leaper.
You want to what? Oh, do a leaper. All right.
Do a leaper. I'm playing golf with some old golf mates. I used to be a member of this club, but we used to just get so hammered with like...
Yes,
aggressively so that I should just join somewhere else that was a bit more sort of casual.
I'm going back there. Have they moved on at all, or are they still doing the same thing?
Probably not. They probably just like their wives even more, and they just try to stay out of the house even longer.
Oh,
no, they're at that age where they're starting to brown around the edges.
Oh, that's a horrible way to put it. Brown around the edges.
Mouths like sailors, and livers like septic tanks.
Jeez. All right.
Otherwise, very nice guys.
Oh, that makes them sound thrilling. Do you know, I actually found myself, 2 days ago, I found myself playing sport.
What?
I know, on this is...
What happened? Where was this? Where
of
did this
all
happen?
Places.
What's happening 3 guys at a time is not sport.
Hey, you can also argue that. But of all places, my friends and I met for afternoon drinks, and they're like, oh, let's meet at the Bowls Club. I thought,
bowls.
I mean, what? So somehow, after a couple of drinks, we all thought it was a fantastic idea to play bowls, which is just...
Sure. The last time I played bowls was with...
Great idea.
The guys who did the soccer show here for a while.
It's so interesting. I actually bumped into Tobani Bobo.
Yeah, I saw Tobani on the plane the other day.
I mean, I didn't even know what bowls is all about.
Yeah, somehow, bowls is a big deal. You get reasonably priced drinks, and it's very unpretentious. And then you can just go roll bowls.
Somehow, I actually enjoyed myself.
But why do old people love bowls so much? Is it because it doesn't exert? You don't really exert too much energy.
Mm. When you get to your third hip, you go try to play touch rugby. And tell me why they like bowls.
There must be more to it. I mean, like, are the hot old chicks there? I mean, what's the deal?
You walk up and down. The bowls clubs are generally in residential areas near your abode.
And so, in other words, you could walk there. That's a plus. Or Zimmer there. You could Zimmer there.
Look, if you look around, especially on the East Ront, which are mostly just overgrown crack dens now, there was always a bowls club quite close to where people lived. So it was a way of kind of linking communities together.
Okay.
And it was easy. You walk up and down. Yes. Minimal effort. There's a bit of skill involved.
No sweating.
Minimal sweating. You can talk the whole time. It's like golf, but it's just much, much smaller and closed in. Like in golf, if I slice the ball, I go to the right. If you hook your ball, you go to your left, and I'll see you like 4 minutes later. Bowls, you're just always in earshot.
I just enjoy the fact that I could still carry my drink.
That too.
Yeah.
Although professional bowlers frown upon that kind of stuff, because once they hit the grass...
It's very serious.
Right. Well, I just think that's a plot for the Real Housewives of Houghton. That's what I think bowls is all about.
That's a great idea for a show. Really? I don't know why we don't have a Real Housewives in South Africa. It would be hilarious. I mean,
didn't we?
I think we had like a soccer wives.
It wasn't pre-production, and then they stopped.
We interviewed a couple of those weirdos. They came in here, and they were like... crazy.
I do remember that, actually, now that you mention it. And we actually thought this show could be quite fun.
She was on Come Dine With Me. I see her in front of me. She even brought us breakfast. She lives in Daneford, and she was on Come Dine With Me. She was in pre-production of the show.
And Gareth wasn't there, so we had to interview her. She was so upset that halfway through the interview, she cracked a bottle of champagne and said, okay, where's Gareth?
Mm.
Yes.
I'm thinking of someone else then.
There were other people. I remember. A whole troop of them came.
Yeah,
someone
like
Barbie.
Three at a time.
Buling Mash Spice.
That's
who it was.
I remember her.
And then her husband came through, and he got into an argument with Damon, because Damon was talking about, like, you know, in your church, you know, what do the people say about you having a black partner? And then this guy went into this tirade against Damon about being, like, insensitive, and Damon's like, look, I mean, I'm fine with it. I was asking about your church.
But it is what it is.
And it was this awkward 10 minutes, and this guy's like 6'8", and Damon was just standing in front of him. Wow.
Memories. All right, I want to do some urgent business and housekeeping. Mabali is here. She took the day off yesterday to get her hair done. And now today, this morning, she's here to open the official present that we were sent by Riet in Cape Town.
Wait, I gotta film this.
All right. Okay. So, Mubs, you're on. You have to open the giant golden box that Riet has sent.
There was a lot of trouble. Orders.
I just want to say, Riet, this is the most beautifully wrapped present I have ever received, like as in ever in my life. Nobody wraps. There was a ribbon around it, which I had to cut off.
Oh, that's nice.
But I thought for the purposes of opening it this morning on the show, we would ask my buddy to do it. She doesn't need to be untying ribbons for 3/4 of an
it's
hour.
It's a big gold box.
Yes. Okay. Inside there's emoji wrapping paper, like tissue paper on the top. And she said, GCS team. And then there were some specific instructions, which as soon as I read the first line, I realized I shouldn't be the one opening this. So here it is.
Oh, okay. Well, there is a note that says, not a fangirl. So that needs to be established immediately.
Okay.
Dear GCS team, first rules. Mabali must open the gifts and hand them each to the person who she thinks it belongs to.
Oh, see? So we couldn't do this without you. This is very important.
Okay, well, I'm going to start by giving the wrapping paper to Sia, and that's all you'll get from the box. Okay.
This is why she had to do it this little bit.
Yeah. No other rules. For the longest time, I wanted to send the team a gift just because, this is going to sound so terrible, I've come to love each one of you individually for who you are and what you bring to my life and the life of others. Young, old, people of all color and creed listen to you. I can hear Mabali think, this person does not even know any of us. How can she use the word love? What the fuck? Calm down.
She knows you, huh?
Yes, I do not know you. Yes, I am a number in a package of listeners. No, I have no illusions that you are my friends. I am saying most of the time.
Right.
I'll be your friend.
Oh, Ben.
Yeah, Ben could do with a few friends.
After my random Russ comment last week, the taunting comments from other listeners about it, and Mabali's plead to just send the Russ already, I've decided to put into motion the initial thought I had 4 years ago about a gift. I was there on day one of Cliff Central, following Gareth from 5FM into the podcasting world of Unscripted Pleasures. Then I wanted to send a gift to show support and encouragement, but never got around to it. Now I just want this gift to be somewhat unique to say thank you, Rianette.
Aw, that's nice, huh?
Oh!
Is it Rianette or Riette?
Sorry, I'm sorry.
Riette.
Yeah. Because I thought I'd had it wrong. Okay. So, Riet, let's go. Mubs is going to hand out the gifts.
Oh,
sorry. So I'm gonna start with myself. 1, 2, 3, 4,
yes, girl.
She's
pulling
five.
Out all the booze.
Hey, that's okay. Not all yours.
Yes.
No, Ben. I'm sorry. I will refer you to the first sentence of the letter. Mabali must open the gifts and hand them each to the person who she thinks it belongs to.
There we go.
Right, so there we go. So five bottles of booze.
Is that whiskey?
Let me just point out to anyone who ever, if Mabali runs for public office one day, which is unlikely, but if she ever does, you know what kind of a boss she's going to be, like the Supra Mahumapelo style leader. Who will take first for herself and then give to the people.
So basically, don't vote for me.
No.
And then with a part of Batabil as well.
Yeah, oh, big time, because of the drinking.
Oh, guys, we've got a package for Meowsers as well, and the new cat.
And the new cat. Right.
Meowsers and Hopkins.
Oh, right, that's sweet. Sweet. That's nice. Oh, look for Carl.
All the doggies and the pets out there.
Yeah.
What's that? Oh, my God.
No.
What is it, specially for you?
It's
what is
this? Extra for MM. I think this is obviously me, Mabali Moloi. You know my obsession with bubble wrap.
That is her favorite thing. It's absolutely her favorite thing.
It's just ref bubble wrap.
So I got a very nice toy for Carl here.
It's not Carl. Why did you open it?
Well, Carl can't open it. Don't be stupid.
It's a dog. He has paws. Of course he can open it.
Wow.
You have no heart, Gareth.
Right.
Sorry, I'm still laughing at the bubble wrap.
No,
I thought there was something.
No,
like,
you know what?
What would be that long and thin?
You are not weird. You fucking know me. You know me.
Yeah, there we go. Her bubble wrap obsession has been a major. When we came here, there was a big roll of it. Do you remember, Mubs?
Yes.
And I think you took home like the biggest square. You just popped the stuff on your own at home.
That was all the fun she had for the day.
I cut about a meter out just to take home, and I shoved it in the boot of my car, and I got home, and I sat there, and I was in therapy.
Like a mental patient.
So some people drink wine at the end of the day, some people read, and then you just bubble wrap.
But yeah, look how nice your wrapping paper is.
It's all Sia has still.
Sure.
A sheet of wrapping paper.
This is...
No.
I think this is better than any box of anything I've ever gotten.
Mm.
There's rusks in here. There's these miniature bottles of alcohol. And then there are even, like, there are other white boxes in here with all our initials. So,
Do you know winter's going to be so delightful now?
Come on, Santa Maloy, let's get this thing going.
All right, we're going to open up the one that says BK. That would be Ben Coppins.
Oh, okay.
No, Shame, let me hand it to him. Okay. I mustn't take complete control. Yeah.
All right. So, by the way, we don't want to encourage this is not bribery and corruption. No. Riet's just the first person who sent us such a comprehensive gift. We certainly don't need everybody to be doing this.
Oh, Ben.
No. It says raised by wolves, saved by Gary Player.
That is awesome.
Mine says it's a mug that says shock jocks need intimacy too.
Oh.
This is incredible.
Mine says everybody wants to taste my juice. This is awesome.
Wow, that's incredible.
This is so cool.
Sure, look Riet at that.
Is the legend right now.
Can I taste your juice?
Oh, okay. Oh.
What does yours say,
Mine
Sia?
Says lights, camera, Sia.
Oh, perfect. Couldn't be any better. That's amazing. Amazing.
This is fabulous. Great.
Right, and then we've got tons of, apart from that, there's tons of rusks.
Ooh.
Oh, we'll use our new mugs for the rusks.
Yeah, I'm going to put some coffee in this right now.
Yeah, immediately.
Oh, and they're also black and yellow, by the way, the mugs.
Well, thank you very much, Riet. That's so sweet.
Really is.
Someone who we've never actually met in person could be this thoughtful.
I know, but this is, you know, okay, let's just get sentimental for exactly 35 seconds.
Okay.
I tell a lot of people when we go out and we sell the idea of Cliff Central, you know, ad agencies and clients, and there are a lot of people who don't get what we're doing here. I always say, look, I wish my audience were here to tell you the story because they're much better at it than I am. And I genuinely believe that. I always talk about how, Sia, you'll back me up on this. I always go, I traded in 1,000 FM radio listeners for one Cliff Central listener, and it was the best exchange I ever made. Because obviously, more than one, but there are thousands of people who listen to us every morning, and they are so valuable compared to the people who used to. Those, you remember those morons who used to call in on radio? I mean, Jesus. I've never had a more thoughtful, brilliant, interesting, interested, involved, engaged, amazing audience that we've got here. And this just proves it. Like, this is why I kind of wish this moment was something that I could take to all these presentations. Just say, just watch this. You'll see what I mean. Anyway, thank you, Riet. There we go.
Thank you very much.
A little bit of sentimentality this morning. It's always nice to do.
That's really sweet.
So, there's lots in the news, but before we get to any of that, there was a story yesterday that we went past almost, and I thought about this a lot more. In fact, I thought about it last night while I was going to sleep, because I think there are a lot of people in this country who have, like, there's a thing, there's a generational thing going on. It's worth discussing. So there's this kid whose parents had to take him to court to get him to leave their house.
Oh, the 30-year-old
kid.
He's not a kid. I mean, he's an
inexperienced adult.
He's a grown man. He lives with his parents. He hates living there, by the way. He complains about it all the time. But then when they want to throw him out, they have to go to court. It's the most incredible story. I know a lot of people who are deep into their 30s and are still living with their parents. Not a lot. I probably know 3 or 4. But that's a lot, right?
I mean, when you say deep into your 30s, that's when...
I mean, like 35.
Wow, that's deep.
Now,
that's my age, basically.
Right. Now, Ben, you were turfed out by your parents.
Yeah.
At what, 10?
Yeah.
Somewhere around there.
Longer.
Yeah. So, and I understand, like, it is hard to get... to buy property or to rent property is expensive. Forget about buying it. Just renting property is hard. You have to suddenly, and this happens to everybody when they leave home, you have to suddenly feed yourself, pay for the groceries, pay for the washing, pay for the someone's got to come in and clean, or you got to clean yourself. make the beds. You've got to do all that stuff that was done for you when you were at home, or that you did as part of the whole family unit, so it was never just you on your own. Everybody kind of worked together.
Mm.
But the fact is, it's like hard to grow up. And we always have a go at millennials, and it's not fair because, you know, where's the definition of millennial end, and who's a Generation Xer, and who's a Generation Z, frankly. But this judge sided with the parents, said this 30-year-old guy was not getting the message that his parents wanted him out. They even left him 5 notices and an offer of cash to help him find a new place to live. It's a New York family, right? His name is Michael Rotondo. He had been in that room for 8 years, and he contends he is owed 6 months of notice. I mean, this is, you know,
excuse me?
When you have to take your parents to, when your parents have to take you, or you have to take your parents to court, that is like irretrievable breakdown of the relationship. That's like when a couple go to the divorce judge and they say, listen, yeah, we've got to get away from each other. It's just not working anymore. When you cannot resolve these things as a family, and a lot of people have shit with their families, so I'm not saying anyone's perfect, but then by that stage, you really should have moved out because things must be very tough.
But you also got to
say, I don't think they're getting along at this point.
But what's the family dynamic that the parents haven't empowered him to be able to do this? Because there's also that aspect here.
Well, this is so amazing.
It sounds like he's been very much enabled in this position.
So Christina and Mark Rotondo started the court proceedings earlier this month, filed evidence of 5 notices that they'd given their son, starting in February. The notes on the 2nd of February reads as follows. After a discussion with your mother, we have decided you must leave this house immediately. You have 14 days to vacate. You will not be allowed to return. We will take whatever actions are necessary to enforce this decision. Shortly after this notice, his parents decided to take on legal counsel and served another notice on him on February the 13th, granting him 30 more days to move out, or they begin enforcement procedures. 5 days later, the parents offered some advice and gifted him $1,100 to help him find a new place to live. It's just crazy, right?
Sheesh. You also have to kind of wonder how, if this situation was happening in your family, how things would unfold differently. I mean, I, for example, know that I one day would have been sent out to buy bread or whatever, and then I'd come back and the locks would be changed. And there would be my mom pulling back the curtain from the lounge window and
hey,
just waving and saying, time now.
Luck. Yeah, it's good luck.
Like, I would not be able to get back into the house.
Right.
Nope. Yeah, my mom would be a one-liner, and the tone and the way in which she delivers that line, you know you have no other option or say in the matter.
Yeah.
It is get out. You are out of there. Done. Imagine what the parents have to go through. This sounds like the script of a bad movie. To have to call in the law because you can't handle your own child.
That's why I love the story. I was obsessed with it yesterday.
And his dignity as a 30-year-old man.
Yeah.
No, I'm not going anywhere. No.
Well,
my parents can't kick me out. How are you facing the world?
They gave him this notice, right? This is what they said. Number one. Organize the things you need for work and to manage an apartment. Note, you will need stuff. So they even give him a list of what he's going to need. You must arrange the date and time through your father so he can set it up with the tenant. In other words, they want to bring in a tenant. Number two, sell the things that you have of any significant value, e.g. stereo, some tools, etc. This is especially true for any weapons that you may have. You'll need the money and will have no place for the stuff. Number three, there are jobs available even for those with a poor work history like you. Get one. You have to work. Number four, if you want help finding a place, your mother has offered to help you. I mean, these are not uncaring, unkind parents. These are not people who just want to throw their kid out on the street. Which, by the way, I don't think is unkind and uncaring.
No, it's necessary.
Right.
At some point, you have to leave the nest.
But these helicopter parents, and there really is, like, the parents... We haven't really yet evaluated parents our age yet, and people just a little bit older than us. We haven't evaluated them yet. There isn't, like, people will say, you know, in the our grandparents' generation, they were really tough.
Mm-hmm.
And they were. A lot of them had very hard lives. They didn't have flushing toilets or electricity or any of that shit. They really had tough lives. There was no TV. There was no cell phone. like, whether you were rich or poor, it was pretty shit. The best you could get was like one of those phones that would go tick 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 tick.
Those were great in an emergency.
Right.
I think the
911 took you 3/4 of an hour to dial.
I think the legal working age in our grandparents' generation was 12. Like at age 12,
you were put into a mine.
That's when the expectations came in and you started working.
Do you remember
what was that
play? Was it Dick Whittington or was it Oliver Twist? The Chimney Sweep.
Oliver Twist.
They were kids. Yeah. These are children.
They could fit nicely in there.
They were like 7 and 8 year olds, and their parents would say, "Right, it's time for you to go off and sweep chimneys." These children would be lowered into chimneys because they were small and made to clean out the chimneys. I mean, listen, I don't ever want to go back to that, and I'm by no means suggesting that that's the way that children should be, you know, raised.
No, it was just a different time.
But man.
So in a
like now you've got a 30-year-old sitting in the house. He hasn't worked, according to this article, and I've read two or three of them about this kid. Hasn't worked ever. Mm. He's 30. He's never brought in any money. Never worked the hot dog stand, the lemonade outside the front door. Never worked. These parents have been supporting him for 30 years of his life. They've been paying for everything. At what point does your self-respect kick in and you go, shit, you know, I should get out there and do... I've always said, if I lost everything, and I don't know this for a fact, maybe I'd be so demoralized I'd just kill myself. I don't think so. I think I'd find something. I'd make some... You see these really industrious people on the side of the road who carve things out of wood or they make things out of beads. You think, shit, that takes a long time and that's a lot of skill. But more importantly... It's that they've got no option. They're going to do something. They're not going to sit there and complain. I have such an admiration and respect. Like, you find these guys who wash the cars, you meet them all over the place in parking lots as well. They're not just saying, give me some money. They're washing your car. You know, these guys who cut, like, bundles of thatch. They cut bundles of grass, and they sell them. For people who are thatching houses or making a LARPA or something... You could buy that from those guys. There's always something you can do. To just sit there for 30 years in your parents' house in New York seems to me like it's just inexcusable. And that's not the parents being loving. Maybe they were too loving when he was, you know, younger.
Well, you know, the parents are partly to blame here for how this individual turned out.
Well, they can't manage.
He was under their roof.
Right, and they can't manage this relationship at all because they have to resort to the courts to make something happen. So he doesn't respect them or listen to them. And they clearly can't get him to move. It's just unreal. And it made me think, first of all, how glad I am that I'm not a parent, because I might fuck it up too.
Sure.
I might be a terrible parent. Who knows? There are unmade Gareths in a parallel universe who are going, thank you for not making me. Thank you, because you would have been a monster.
Oh.
Maybe I would have, dude. I don't know. So relieved. So number one, I'm really thrilled I'm not a parent. Number two, I kind of have a lot of sympathy and respect for parents, and I always have, and I've always said that it's the hardest job in the world, and it never really ends. But man, when your kid won't leave home, Jesus.
And
you fucked up as a parent.
I'm not condoning what he's doing and his behavior overall, but people as well are a product of their circumstance or where they come from.
Oh, Ben always says if the kid's a disaster, you should send the parents to jail.
Remember was she 16 years old who was on Dr. Phil and we discussed her a few weeks ago, who demanded like a Mercedes Benz and this and that.
It's like, I have to have a G-Wagon.
You become accustomed to that. Yeah. And so if I am 27 years old and my parents are still, you know, giving me pocket money as well to go out and drink and I don't have to work, I'm like, well... I could get used to this, actually.
I know someone.
I think for ambition, though, that's...
I know someone who's 40 years old. Her father gave her a job in his business. She doesn't really do anything. It's like sheltered employment. She's 40 years old. She doesn't have any interests. What she likes to do is go shopping.
Oh, dear.
This is her thing, right? You ask her, what are your hobbies? If I ask Sia what his hobbies are, he might say socializing, reading... Doing this, doing that. He's got like 10 different things he could do to pass the time. Sia doesn't sit around and go, I'm bored every other day. This girl, her hobby, her interest, her only interest is shopping.
Ugh. Well, no,
it's okay. Just bizarre, right? And when her parents die, because they're in their 60s, maybe even heading towards their 70s, what the hell is she going to do? Because the money's going to stop, because she's not productive
in getting her employed.
There might be, but I think that they've probably spent it all on the kids already, because they're two other kids, and it's... Oi, let me tell you, there are people, and this girl does not have any interest in going out and working hard at all. Because her parents have raised her like this, she has no reason to go and work. And why would she? So what she does is spend her whole time going from holiday, which again is paid for by her parents, to holiday, and complaining that she just doesn't feel like her life has come together, no man wants to marry her, and it's so unfair, and she doesn't really have a purpose when she wakes up in the morning. But whose fault is that? It's really hard to find sympathy for her. And she's a really nice person. I don't want you to get the wrong idea that she's some kind of spoiled, entitled little bitch, which she clearly is if you look at the facts. But actually, as a person, she's funny. She's interesting to be around. You know, she makes me laugh. But life has turned her into this loser who's leeching off her parents at age 40. Mm, mm, mm. What a future to look at. I think I'd rather be left alone and be forced to make it on my own.
It's not her fault that she was born into money, and
it's not even money. They really are very middle class, very, you know, they're not rich people.
But my thing is more...
In other words, the dad is still breaking his back in his late 60s to pay for
her.
They're not making a lot of money.
Don't you find it unbecoming? Just I sort of cringe when a person my age has to go, "Hey, let me call my dad." Like, no, like, you can make your own decisions. Like, be a grown up, put your big girl panties on, and do something about your life. Ugh. Anyway.
Yeah, we do have to move on because we've got news. It's time for the 5 things you need to know with Mabali Moloi at just after 6:30, cliffcentral.com on a Friday morning. Yay, it's Friday. Let's get to it. Mubs, what do you got for us today?
Okay, so we will begin with the moment when there was a collective sigh of relief yesterday as police confirmed that the 13-year-old Katlego Maride, who had been missing for almost a week, had been found unharmed and reunited with his family. This is the teenage boy who was kidnapped by some men outside of his house while he was playing with his friends, and then they demanded Bitcoin in ransom.
Yes, I remember this.
Yeah.
It's very messed up.
The police's Leonard Clatty saying that more details on how he was found will be released, or would be released. But, yeah, I think everybody just kind of, you know, was relieved, because usually in stories like these, you hear about a person goes missing, and then a few days later, their body gets found.
Or like that. Someone sends a finger at a time in the post until they get paid for. Also, really shitty time, by the way, kidnappers, to ask for Bitcoin. It's not very good right now.
But this was worth more than $1 million. I think it was 1.5, if I'm not mistaken, 1.5 million rand.
Well, now it's worth 500,000.
And then SA Express yesterday had a pretty bad day at the office.
Oh, no.
Yeah, they have had their operating license suspended.
What?
By the South African Civil Aviation Authority. The airline also had its aircraft maintenance organization approval suspended.
Yeah.
As well as its certificates of airworthiness on 9 of its 21 planes. This is so scary because I can already see a lot of people thinking about how many times they've boarded an SA Express plane, and then this news broke yesterday.
Oh, the asthma.
Excuse me.
That's why my belly wasn't here yesterday.
So the SACAA said that they took the decision to revoke permits after they conducted an audit of the airline, and basically they failed several tests.
Really?
They uncovered severe cases of non-compliance that pose serious safety risks. I also saw at one point, I think it was Pravin Gordhan speaking about how SA Express had also been involved with dodgy deals with Trillium, the company.
Oh, no.
So it just, all of it looks very suspicious. And then yesterday, the South African Civil Aviation Authority announcing that no. You guys have failed a whole bunch of tests, and now we have to put certain things into effect. They also uncovered severe cases of non-compliance that posed serious safety risks. So, yeah.
I've flown SA Express a couple of times.
I'm sure we all have at one point. We all have.
Sure. I didn't realize they were a risk.
Oh, goodness.
So they better get their shit together, otherwise they'll be closed down.
Yeah, because they've essentially been grounded now over these safety concerns.
Gee.
And they're tiny little planes to begin with. And
Attention, please. Attention. All the SA Express passengers, you will have to live in the airport for the next 6 weeks. Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, the former president, Jacob Zuma, has run out of money, guys. He's run out of money.
I don't believe a word of it. Do you believe a word of it?
This is to pay his lawyers. And now, apparently, the infamous Michael Hulley has decided that he is pulling out of the Zuma Council.
Well,
you know, we've spoken about Michael Hulley a number of times on this show.
And you know what they say about loyalty between thieves, right? I mean, if you're not going to pay me, why the hell should I carry on helping you?
So, President Cyril Ramaphosa this week revealed in several parliamentary replies the state has spent 15.3 million rand on Zuma's legal fees, but experts say that it is likely to be more.
What would you do with 15 and a half? Let's call it 15. Call it 15 million rand. What would you do with that? That's more money than I would know what to do with at this stage.
Well, apparently most senior advocates charge around 50k a day.
Sure, the good ones, yeah.
So that's like the ballpark figure that your Michael Hulley was kind of pocketing every time he was representing. 50,000 a day.
But Jacob Zuma, Mr. Former President, if you have run out of money, but you were pilfering for, 10 years?
Mm-hmm.
Call it 10 years, 9, 10 years as president, and you managed to make the Guptas billionaires a couple of times over, but you are now bankrupt.
Oh.
You really are the stupidest man in the universe.
Baba, can't you sell an asset in Gandla? Sell part of the land there.
There's no money that I'm going to be paying back.
Well, the DA wants the former president to pay back some of the money, and maybe this is where, you know, you're saying you don't believe this for a second, because no sooner had the DA said you need to pay back the money, he comes back and he says, I'm broke.
It's not 250.
So sorry.
What government has done, I think I don't have the figures. It could be between 700 or 800. I mean, 780 million rand.
See? Like, that's why he's bankrupt. He doesn't know the difference between a couple of hundred and a couple of million. He
all
really
the same.
Doesn't.
It's all the same.
Well, you know what? Now,
kids, this is why you need to go to school. Because you could end up as president, and if you're going to steal, at least make sure you don't run out of money when you get chased down by the law afterwards. How embarrassing.
Well, you know what? Michael Hulley feels that he's made all the money he can from this relationship, so he's decided that's it. Shaking hands. Nice knowing you, Mr. Former President.
That's where the difference comes.
I think out of all the blows that he's taken, the Guptas running away, his kids going missing, politicians turning on him, this rat of a lawyer turning on him, I think that's the real, this is rock bottom for him. This is rock bottom.
Yeah. This is really where, he's not going to be able to bounce back from this one.
I mean, at this stage, Bank of Baroda probably isn't even answering his calls.
Oh, we should try and get Michael Hulley in for an interview, actually.
Oh, wow.
Can you imagine? Oh, no. There is that whole attorney-client privilege thing. Yeah, sure.
Can't really turn on
Forgot
him.
Forgot about that. Yeah. Then a federal judge yesterday ruled in a case that's been closely watched for implications for online free speech. In fact, this happened on Wednesday, American time, where basically President Donald Trump has been told, you're not allowed to block people on Twitter anymore.
Right.
Judge Naomi Reese Butchwald.
Like a kid, he had to be told.
said that the blocking of Trump critics, which prevents them from seeing and interacting with the president's tweets, violates the free speech rights of those users guaranteed in the Constitution's First Amendment. It's a real thing, guys. So basically, Trump is not allowed to just go around blocking people left, right, and center anymore.
But you see, this is a part of freedom of speech that I've often spoken about. People get upset with me. They're like, you're some kind of free speech asshole. You know, you're a purist or whatever. So free speech isn't just you being able to say whatever you want. It's you being able to hear whatever you want. And you only know if you want to hear it or not if you get to hear it. If Donald Trump blocks you, how do you know that you don't want to hear what he has to say? And he's the president of the United States. It might have an effect on your life. But as I said yesterday, if Twitter is going to, if President Trump is going to have to unblock all of his people that he's blocked, and can you imagine what a process that'll be?
Yeah.
He has to go through everyone, and there must be thousands because he's so like thin-skinned. If you say, Mr. President, I didn't like your hair, black, black, black. So he's going to have to go and unblock all those people, or Twitter will help him do it, I suppose.
Oh, just ask Fikile what he did, because he did that process.
Did he unblock everybody? I don't think so.
He did. He was running out of content.
Oh, right.
So he did this whole thing like, I'm going to unblock people for Christmas.
Oh, really? Oh, okay.
I'll unblock people. So there's,
like, we've got a precedent case. So they must ask Fikile Mbalula. But my point is, then Twitter has to uncensor everything. In other words, nobody, including Twitter, should decide who can and can't say things, even if they're horrendously offensive. I mean, Twitter's better than most of the other social media about this, because at least, yeah, you can be a porn star and, like, put porn on Twitter, right? You can't do that on Instagram.
Well, they did speak about not blocking people, but they didn't say anything about muting people.
Shame!
Because, I mean, now we start splitting hairs, and, you know.
Shame!
I've muted a lot of people.
Yeah.
So nice. Have I.
Well, not a lot, but yeah, I've also muted a few.
Let me correct that. I muted people when I was still on Twitter all the time. I don't have it on my phone anymore, and I check it once a week now, so I don't really care.
Listen, I never thought, you probably never thought you'd see the day where God was apologizing for sexual harassment claims.
God?
Yo, Morgan Freeman.
No. Really? He's also been pulled into Me Too?
Thursday he issued a public apology after CNN published a report in which at least 8 women have accused the actor of misconduct. It involves a variety of things from unwelcome sexual comments to unwanted touching to sexual harassment. So, Freeman, as part of his statement, saying, anyone who knows me or who has worked with me knows I am not someone who would intentionally offend or knowingly make anyone feel uneasy. But yeah, the 8 women, all but 2 of them, are still unnamed. And they've said that the actor made unwelcome remarks about their appearance.
Okay, but unwelcome remarks about your appearance is not like rape. And that is a desperate thing. To do that to an actor of his repute and career because you need a little bit of shine and you think that you've been wronged and it was a comment, an off-color comment. I mean, grow up. You get off-color comments from people. Would you prefer no one to notice you, honey? I'm sorry. There's a huge difference between that and rape.
And then after 7, we'll talk about how Sweden have now passed a new law that basically says that sex without consent is rape. They're saying people have to give either verbal or physical consent before the sexy time can happen.
Please don't tell me people in relationships as well.
So
it's going to get there. I'm telling you now, it's going to make it impossible.
Ooh, that is so romantic.
This is going to make it impossible for anyone to have sex with anyone else in the future without it leading to trials. I'm telling you.
Good evening, wife of mine. Yes. May I sex you today?
Would you sign this on my iPad first so that... excuse me, I'd like to go down on you as well. Would you sign for that? Just tick the box on the right. Hey, and about 3 boxes down, if you're up for anal, that would be great too.
Look at that. Isn't that the most gorgeous thing you've ever seen? And look at the body, muscles. You work out. Oh, I'm going to come.
And that's everyone's breakfast.
Oh, I love it. Oh, yeah.
What you need for breakfast.
Why don't you pop all over my chest?
I think the most disturbing thing about whenever you play Blue Iris is that it's not an audio clip. That's a video you're watching every time.
No, I'm not watching it. It's an audio clip. It's Blue Iris, the 70-something-year-old porn star. Shame, she's dead. Rest in peace, Blue Iris. But you know the point is, like, if Morgan Freeman is going to be, and I don't know what Morgan Freeman's got up to, and there are a lot of men in the world who deserve to be accountable for their crimes and for their treatment of women and their behavior. Absolutely. No, not even a shred of doubt. And they're probably, God knows, out of all the men on the planet, probably 70% of us need to be hauled in front of some kind of accountability panel for what we've done, even if it's in our heads.
Oh, well, right? In our heads, I think we're all...
Okay, but but you cannot be taken seriously. And no one will ever and should ever take you seriously. If you're comparing an unacceptable, inappropriate comment to the experience of someone who's been raped, that's so disrespectful of the person who's actually gone through something. To compare your experience, it's vulgar and extreme.
Okay, 29th of September 2014, Governor Jerry Brown signed a bill into law in California that makes California the first in the nation to have clear definition of when people agree to sex. The law goes further than the common no means no, which is now being blamed for bringing ambiguity into investigation of sexual assault cases. So now it has to be yes means yes. This has been put into law, has been for 3.5 years.
Pull out your testicles.
You know what? Sex is not really that important anyway. Let's all take a year off from sex, and then we can just like
it seems too messy.
Walk past each other and shake hands and like give each other high fives and thanks.
Right. Well, guys, we got to adapt. We all think foreplay is quite mundane and stuff, but now it's like you got to induce the yes.
Oh,
is that the new foreplay?
What do you think, guys?
All right, listen. We got to move on.
Let's keep it sexy. Let's not get caught up in the red tape.
Yesterday was the shittiest day on crypto in ages. Currently, Bitcoin trading at $7,570.64. Ethereum is down to $605.
I didn't consent to that.
I know. I mean, that's being raped. If you're a cryptocurrency trader. Okay, let's get our attentions turned to Ben, who is ready with the sport. Any more clarity on this Willemse thing, or do you want to leave that for another day?
Yeah, a lot, actually, Gareth, a lot.
What's happened?
It doesn't look good for Ashton Willemse, the more information that comes out. So
therefore, for South African breweries who put out that stupid label bottle, I mean, talk about jumping the gun, you morons.
Ugh.
I don't know who's in charge of their like strategy there, but someone needs their head crushed between a vice.
It's so tacky.
Yeah, but at the same time, I also like this whole thing of no labels. I'm not a labeled person.
Oh, okay, well,
that's what it's about. That's about not being labeled.
That's a whole other disagreement. But you're telling me that Ashwin might not be the hero that the social justice warriors jumped to defend?
SuperSport are adding more clarity to this. So Mochidisi Mahono, she is the sort of the main presenter, let's just say, on SuperSport when it comes to the panels. So she's there, and then Nick Mallett and Narsport, and of course Ashwin. So she was given... So, as you know, on TV, you've got an earpiece. Your producer's in your ear the whole time, telling you what's happening. Prior to the Lions-Brumbies match, there would be a 10-minute feature where everyone gets to have their own analysis. Everyone gets to do the whole thing. So how it always works is Nick Mallett generally starts, and Austin chimes in a little bit, and then Ashwin goes together. So, out of nowhere, producer says, from 10 minutes, we've got to go, 3 minutes, we've got to go, ad breaks, whatever. So suddenly, there was no time for Ashwin. Didn't say a single thing. And there was a pivotal process here because, of course, Elton Judges was about to play his 100th game for the Lions, okay? So there is the so-called player of color. I always hate that phrase, but there we go. So I'm sure Ashwin would have had a couple of things to say about the fact this guy's done so well in his career. Anyway, didn't get the chance to. Nothing malicious, nothing personal, nothing racial. The producer just said, we've got to go. 10 minutes became 3 minutes. Ashwin said nothing. During the break, Nas and Nick and Ashwin, you know, it's well known that these guys have a very jovial sort of relationship off camera. Now, a friend of mine used to be on the SuperSport panel as well, and he said it's a duel. Basically, you do all your serious stuff, you do all your cuts and links, and then you put your feet up, you watch the game, and that is where you'll hear the crudest language, and people throw opinions around.
Well, it's like a locker room.
And it's fun, exactly, it's fun, right. Because they're humans like anyone else. The vibe is generally quite good. Nas then said, in general jovial manner, again, I'm reporting from the Sport 24 article in this. It's a very comprehensive article about documenting what SuperSport is told what happened. Ashwin was doing the usual. He was having a smoke break. He went to the toilet like anyone else. And then Nas was just like, well, Ashwin, you didn't get to speak much, so it's all over to you. And then he laughed. That's what friends do. We say things and we generally laugh. So then when they came back from the break, I went straight to Ashwin, as Nick Mallett also said, and the producer also said, it was go to Ashwin because the time's run out. He suddenly seemed to take offense to Nas's comment about the fact that over to you.
Well, maybe he had nothing to say. He'd run out of stuff to say, and he was embarrassed that he had nothing to add.
But the whole thing here is that none of this talks to racism. None of this talks to bad blood. Sure, there's been sort of conflict around personalities, but I mean, this isn't a malicious thing. This is just guys who are talking about rugby. Rugby is a highly emotional subject, so this is what's going to happen. And Springbok rugby is just a, oh, it's a tinderbox, all kinds of issues. So it doesn't seem very good in Ashwin's case here. And then there's speculation around SuperSport that Ashwin is an opium. I find this interesting. What? He is trying very hard to start a political career at some time.
What? Ashwin, who's going to vote for him?
At SuperSport, it has openly been speculated that Willemse was trying to launch his political career. I don't know where this comment comes from, but then again, I'm not within the SuperSport structures. This is what's been reported on amongst the whole course of events.
Okay.
It's interesting that it gets thrown in. That wouldn't get thrown in out of nowhere. I don't know what else to say about that. I mean, this is what's come through, and this is what's come through a week after the match. So I don't think this is just knee-jerk sort of reactions here. This is what's been thrown around. Of course, they all came together for meetings to basically find out what the problem was here. And I think this has been dealt with rather badly by Ashwin Willemse. But, you know, of course, he's got the public on his side because he
doesn't
always
really. He's got idiots on his side.
Well, the general social media. You're right, Kath.
Idiots.
Yeah, because I also
I love when people say they've got the public on their side, but they've taken like 10 Twitter comments and they consider that the public.
Yeah, no, you're right. Spot on.
It's like when these people appoint themselves to speak on behalf of the poor.
I also heard, though, a lot of coloured people are unhappy with him because they're saying no angry coloured says something and doesn't finish off with "Yo, Masa."
Spot on, yeah. Spot on. Spot on. So he's not even being true to himself. I agree. Which means, would then see us support the claim of having a political future, because if he says "Yo, Masa," then he's going to isolate himself. So now he's Musi Mamaniing. This is a very, very tricky matter. But I can't go any further than that because there is so much sport to go. And Sia also likes to talk in this first hour. So we must get into Champions League. Guys, what happened to the theme music?
It's dead, Ben. I kind of think we need to get you some new stuff.
Okay.
Don't you think?
No, it just sounds like you've given up.
No, I haven't given up on you.
All right, that's fine. I just want to clarify that. So the big Champions League final this weekend, it's Real Madrid versus Liverpool. Around 8:45 South African time, you catch that match live. And of course, Real Madrid is the most prolific, the most fantastic, the brilliant, most shiny of all teams. They've been in the Champions League final 15 times. They've only lost 3 times. Once in the beautiful year of 1981, once in 1964, and once in 1962. Otherwise, they get to the final, they raise that trophy, they party like it's their last ever outing. Liverpool, on the other hand, they've got to the Champions League final 7 times, and they've won 5 of those, most recently being in 2005. Of course, we're looking at recent form. Real Madrid, they won 2014, 2016, 2017. They're looking for the three-peat. They haven't had the best season so far, but when it comes down to it, they've performed in the Champions League itself. They smashed Apul, Borussia Dortmund, in the group stages, but then came up against Spurs and lost. Yeah, so they didn't even top their group in the end of it. So they finished second in Group H. Liverpool, on the other hand, well, they started off pretty slow. They drew with Sevilla and Spartak Moscow. Then they hammered Maribor 7-0, then 3-0. Sevilla, they drew 3-3, and then hammered Spartak 7-0. So they topped their group. They scored an absolute shit ton of goals. And with that, they went through to the playoff stages. Now, because Real Madrid didn't finish top of the group, they had the high-flying Paris Saint-Germain in the round of 16 matches. But they said, well, you guys still ain't shit. And they beat them 5-2 in that one. Porto got hammered by Liverpool in the round of 16, 5-0 aggregate there. Then it got to the quarters, and, well, Man City got hammered by Liverpool. Liverpool absolutely smashed them. No one really expected that one to be such an easy sort of romp for them. 5-1 they had. And then it looks at Real Madrid in these sort of knockouts for the quarterfinals and semifinals. They won 4-3 against Juventus and 4-3 versus Bayern. So they were good, but they weren't completely invincible. And now with Liverpool, they hammered Roma in that first game as well, 5-2. So they put a lot of goals up. The last game, they kind of lost 4-2, so 7-6 through an aggregate. Both teams showing here that they are slightly fallible at the back, but huge amounts of attacking prowess. I think you've got to give it to Real Madrid on the back that they are a proven team. Mohamed Salah, as great as he is, this is still a wonder season for him. He hasn't done this week in, week out. Right. I mean, Ronaldo has been amazing for like a decade.
Talk about consistency.
All of this comes down to composure on the night, and these big matches, you know, you get dickheads like Ramos. You know, he's an absolute piece of shit, but that guy knows what to do in the final because he's been there and done that. Liverpool are going to be a bit flaky. Unless they get off to a flyer, I can't see them winning this, but I think every single person in the world who's not a Real Madrid fan is hoping Liverpool win. Sorry, it'll be quarter to nine South African time. You got to watch this match because even if you don't like football, it's World Cup year. This is how you get into it, guys. This is the big start. It's being played in Ukraine, who have the worst sort of consulates. They don't even care about giving people visas. So I do feel for you if you're a Liverpool fan from South Africa and you wanted to go over. I know a few of you. And basically, the Ukrainian visa office were like, no. True story. Pakistan are playing the England in a test match right now. It's a much anticipated home series for England. And, well, they got absolutely rolled over in the first test, first day. 184 all out. Only Alistair Cook, who could still really bat. The rest of them, absolute shithouse. Pakistan, in response, 50 for 1. Interesting part of the story there was that the Pakistan players were told they cannot play with smartwatches. Interesting thing about this, because obviously a smartwatch, you can receive messages and calls and that kind of stuff.
Yes.
No one's ever thought about it. There isn't an express rule amongst the ICC that say you can't have these smartwatches on, because a lot of them can claim, yeah, but you know, we're training our heart rate and stuff. But you can also be told to bowl or no ball.
I see what you mean. I was trying to think, like, how could they get any, but match fix.
A coach could be messaging you saying, pitch it up outside off, this guy's weak there, or go for the review now. You can't have that because you can't have phones in the change rooms, so it makes sense. You can't have a smartwatch. But like, the thing is, the technology is moving so fast, the rules didn't pick this up. But it was like, well, hang on a second, that doesn't make any sense. You wouldn't light a phone on. So that's interesting. Cricket's always interesting. Some sad news from cricket, and it's got to do with David Warner. His wife suffered a miscarriage, apparently, after the ball tampering scandal.
Ooh.
Yeah, it's all fun and games to lose a kid, huh? Very sobering story, this, that Candace Warner, who was expecting, she lost the baby late March. Super Rugby, that's happening this weekend, and right now you can be ready for, if you have no job or are flexi time on a Friday, Crusaders versus the Hurricanes, 9:35 South African time. You want to watch this one. Both teams are basically, what I would say, is New Zealand's top chances for winning the trophy, which means they are the tournament's top chances of winning the trophy. After that, you've got the Rebels versus the Sunwolves. Sunwolves are very confident right now. They beat the Stormers last week. Mm-hmm. That'll be 11:45 in Rebels country. Then the Jaguares will take on the Sharks tonight, 9:40 from the Estadio José Amalfantani.
You can say that
I nailed it. I say things more than three syllables. All of you look up and go, huh?
Yeah.
Nailed it. Chiefs versus the Waratahs, Saturday morning, 9:35. Reds versus the Highlands, 11:45 Saturday morning. And then the Bulls take on the Brumbies at 3:05. And we'll have a rocket up their asses after being hammered last week by the Jaguares. John Mitchell has no hair for a reason, and he will come down like the thunder if these guys produce the same performances last week. And then finally, the Stormers, which you can use kind of say the words embattled, slightly disgraced, whatever, not having a good time. Bottom of the African Conference right now. They'll take on the Lions at Newlands. So if you're in Newlands, around Newlands, always a good, I wouldn't say derby, because there's only one true derby in SA, and that's the Stormers versus the Bulls. But still, the Lions are a great team to watch. French Open, if Trump's daughter,
Ivanka.
Ivanka, she is outraged that Serena is not seeded for the French Open. Absolutely outraged. Ridiculous.
What's she getting involved in that for? But what is Ivanka Trump talking about Serena Williams for? Why?
By not being seeded, it means that you'll come up against stronger opposition right off the bat. Serena Williams' first round opponent is Kristina Pliskova. Now, we know Pliskova is a strong player.
Sorry, it's just you and these names.
That's horrendous.
It's tough being you, Ben.
I mean, look, if I was playing first round French Open, I wouldn't want to play Pliskova. I'd much rather play against some sort of like 4'3" Asian girl who's having a good week. But no, that'll be the way it is. Hmm. And because Nadal is obviously top seed, well, he'll go through a pretty easy, I wouldn't say easy draw, but on clay, the guy's already 60% better than most people, and he's got a nice draw to go through. So, French Open is coming up. That's always good to watch. 27th of May to the 10th of June, which means as of this Sunday, you can watch the beautiful red clay of Roland Garros and everything about that, if you do like that one. Of course, everyone waits for Wimbledon, but this is like the curtain raiser. A little bit of a teaser, a little bit of a snack before the big deal. And I think that's pretty much it for your sport. There are other stories, but we have run out of time. For everything else, go on to the bounce.cf.za. I recap this and all the other big stories every single day, 9 o'clock for you, if you do miss it live.
All right. Thank you very much, Ben. Over to Sia. It's time for Sia to give us some inspiration this morning.
Hey, it's a big hip hip hooray to one of our very own. We don't often hear some great news when it comes to government officials.
Yes.
But heading over to the North Coast in KZN, a police captain, Vinny Pillay, has won the International Integrity Idol Award.
Oh.
This is the first time a South African has had the honor of winning this title. And if you don't know about these awards, the Integrity Idol is a global campaign which is run by citizens in particular who search for honest government officials worldwide. It aims to generate debate around the idea of integrity and demonstrate the importance of honesty and personal responsibility. Now, the awards have gone to Nepal in 2014 and Liberia in 2015, and they've really just evolved to becoming this massive global campaign. And now, out of 4,000 global nominees, Captain Vinny Pillay has taken the top spot. So he's from Umhlali in particular. Mm-hmm. He's also the spokesperson for the station, and he's been working at the he's been a police officer since 1993, and he's really just essentially spent his entire career then servicing his community. So on winning the award, he says that it's important to examine our own integrity in an effort to restore morals and values that are core to our functioning society. I'm hoping to make a bigger difference in my community and work with the other integrity idols in realizing more concrete change in South Africa. So even though Captain Pillay is the overall winner, out of 4,000 people, South Africa, we actually have great nods in there as well. We have a nurse from Kondo who's also won an award. We have another nurse from Mamelodi East, a fireman from Florida here in Johannesburg, and a teacher from the Free State as well. So this is amazing news for us, and it shows what sort of people we are in the best of times here. So that's your Sit by Seer for today. Integrity Award winner out of 4,000 individuals in the entire world.
Magic.
That's awesome.
Yes, very, very good. Okay, well, I mean, you know what? Also, it's nice that a policeman is getting some positive attention for a change. That's
absolutely
very, very good news. All right, everybody, let's get cracking. Your day is only getting started, and it's Friday, which means before you know it, you're going to be out of the office, driving home, getting ready to enjoy your weekend. And however that happens, whether it's quiet or it's busy, I hope it's going to be good. You can get hold of us on WhatsApp, 079-748-2090. And we will take your messages and your calls, 0861-555-189.
This is CliffCentral.com.